بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of رياض الصالحين, and we have reached hadith 60. We have reached hadith 60, and we are still under the chapter of observance. And this hadith, the first hadith under this chapter. عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه said, once we were sitting in the company of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when there appeared a man dressed in a very white clothes and having extraordinary black hair. لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. No signs of fatigue of journey appeared on him, and he was known to none of us. حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه. He sat down facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaning his knees against the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and placing both of his palms over his two thighs, and said, "يا محمد." وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. He said, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell me about Islam. He صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, Islam is to testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah. قال صدقت فعجبنا يسأله ويصدقه. قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان. قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. So he replied, you have spoken the truth. We were surprised to see that he had asked him and confirmed the correctness of the answers. He then inquired, tell me about Iman, about faith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is to believe in Allah and his books and his messengers and the last day, and that you believe in the preordainment, its bad and good consequences. He said, you have spoken the truth. قال صدقت. قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان. قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. قال فأخبرني عن الساعة. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها. قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. ثم انطلق فلبثت مليا ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. Then he inquired, tell me about Ihsan, benevolence. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is to worship Allah as if you are seeing him, and although you don't see him, he sees you. He inquired, inform me about the hour, meaning the day of resurrection. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I have no more knowledge thereof than you. He said, inform me about some of its signs. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are that a bondswoman gives birth to her own master, and that you will find the barefooted, naked, poor shepherds competing one another in the construction of high buildings. Then he departed. The Messenger of Allah kept silent for a while. Then he said to me, meaning to Umar, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I replied, Allah and His Messenger know better. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was Jibreel, Gabriel. He came to teach you your deen, your religion. The author, rahimahullah, mentioned this hadith, this great hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. This great hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar, at the end of the hadith, أتدري من السائل, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? He said, Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his messenger know better. قال, he said, فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. He said, he was Jibreel, he came to teach you your deen. So therefore, from this we conclude that our deen, our religion is in this hadith. Our religion is in this hadith, because it comprises the entire deen, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. In the beginning of this hadith, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, we were sitting in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when there appeared a man. So the companions, therefore, we know from this, they used to sit many times with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stay away from them, nor did he stay away and keep himself away from the needs of his family as to the domestic affairs in the household of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to milk the sheep and stitch the garments and take care of the shoes, as with his companions in the masjid, in the mosque, he is with them, or going to visit a sick person or a relative. None of his affairs, except it involved an obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He preserved the time. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preserved the time. Not like us, we waste the times. And the strange thing and the amazing thing is that the dearest thing to the person is time, yet it is the cheapest. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23 verses 99 and 100. حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. Until when death comes to one of them, he says, Oh my Lord, send me back so that I may do good in that which I have left behind. So here, at this moment, he doesn't say, let me return to enjoy the wealth, or enjoy the wife, or enjoy the mounts, or the palaces, لعلي أعمل صالحا, so that I may do good in that which I have left behind. So time passed, I did not make good use of it. So time is the dearest thing, but to us it is the cheapest. We spend much of our times without benefit. Rather, we spend a lot of times in that which is harmful. And this is not about a single person, but most of Muslims, except whom Allah had mercy upon him. Most of Muslims nowadays, regretfully, are in a state of negligence and heedlessness and heedless states. they are not serious concerning the matters of their deen. They are not serious concerning the matters of their deen. Most of them are seeking means of comfort and negligence, seeking that which comforts their bodies, even if it spoils their deen. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend his times in that which is beneficial to him particularly or to the public alayhi salatu wasalam. So while the companions were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if suddenly a man shadidu bayad al-thiyab, a man dressed in very white clothes, shadidu sawad al-shar, and having extraordinary black hair, لا يرى عليه آثر السفر, no signs of fatigue of journey appeared on him, ولا يعرفه منا أحد, and he was known to none of us. This is very strange. So he is not a traveler, so that we say that he is, you know, a stranger, and he is not known, unknown, so that, and he is not known, so that we can say he is from the people of the town. So they were amazed. So, and this man who came clean, dressed very white clothes, extraordinary black hair, so meaning he is young, there is no sign of fatigue or journey appearing on him. You know, we know at their time, during their times, he would become uncombed and dusty and so forth, because they will travel on mounts, camels and so forth, or on feet. And you know, the land, and there are no roads like our roads. Yet this person, there is no sign of fatigue of journey appearing, and no one knew him. So his status was amazing. So he came and sat down facing the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this man was, quote, Jibril عليه السلام, one of the great angels. Rather, he is the best of the angels in that which we know regarding him, because of the magnificence and honor of his actions, and because he carries the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So he is a great angel. The Prophet alayhi as-salatu was-salam saw him on his real creation upon which he was created. He saw him twice on that, one on earth and one in heavens. On the earth, he saw him while he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave of Hira in Mecca. Why? And he couldn't see the sky above the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He couldn't see the sky above him because this angel blocked the horizon, because he had 600 wings which blocked the entire horizon. Allahu Akbar. 600 wings. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says regarding the angels in Surah Fatir 35, verse 1. جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة. جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة. مثنى وثلاثة ورباع. Who made the angels messengers with wings, two or three or four. They fly fast. using these wings. The second time he saw him, عند سدرة المنتهى, near the lot tree of the utmost boundary, beyond which none can pass. This is the second time when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him on his real creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Najm 53 verses 4 to 9 about this. قال الله تعالى
إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى.
It is only an inspiration that is inspired. He has been taught this Quran by one mighty in power, Gabriel. The one free from any defect in body and mind. Then he, Jibreel, rose and became stable. When he, Jibreel, was in the highest portion of the horizon, then he, Jibreel, approached and came closer and was at a distance of 2 bows length or even nearer. So he, Jibreel, this was on earth, then he, Jibreel, approached and came closer. And was at a distance of 2 bows length or even nearer, closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relating to him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him from the revelation. As to the second one, was عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى, عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى, near the lot tree of the utmost boundary. In the next three verses 13 and 14 of the same chapter. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. And indeed he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw him, Jibreel, at a second distant, another time, near سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى, the low tree of the utmost boundary, beyond which none can pass. So this is Jibreel. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the angels the ability to take shapes, change in form. And so he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith in the form of a man. حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه. So he, Jibreel, sat down facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaning his knees against the knees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ, and placing both of his palms over his two thighs. The scholars mentioned that he placed these palms of his on his own thighs, not on the thighs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating the perfect etiquette of manners in the sitting posture of someone seeking knowledge from the seeker, from the one who gives it, from the provider, from the teacher, sitting with etiquettes, attentively to listen, as to what is going to be mentioned. So he sat in this position and he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, أخبرني عن الإسلام. You see, he didn't say, O Messenger of Allah, tell me. But he said, like the Bedouins, right? Because the Bedouins, when they used to come to the Prophet ﷺ, they would address him by saying what? Huh? The question is to you. By saying to him what? Yes. Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad. Those who have learned the etiquette and they have learned the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what He taught the believers to as to how to deal with the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, they don't say, O Muhammad. Rather they say, Ya Rasulullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur 24:63, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Make not the calling of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among you as your calling of one another. And this covers calling him by his name, and also discovers when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us and prohibits us. So we should not take that as what ordinary people command and ask. If we like, then we can comply, and if we wish we don't. And we shouldn't also make it like if someone commands us not to do something from the regular people, we say, okay, if we wish we do, if we wish we don't. No. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the believers have etiquettes in terms of calling him and in terms also of responding to his commands and his prohibitions. So we don't call him like we call each other, or such and such, as one calls his friend. Rather we say, Ya Rasulullah. However, the Bedouins, since they don't have knowledge, and ignorance is with most of them, then they, when they used to come to talk to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, they called him Ya Muhammad, or Muhammad. So he said to him, أخبرني عن الإسلام. Tell me about Islam. Meaning, what is Islam? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. Islam to testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Meaning there is no true deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who testifies to this divinity, singling Allah alone in worship, then he indeed testifies to his lordship. That is because the one who is worshipped must be the one who is the Lord. And he must be also qualified with the perfect attributes. And that's why you find those who negate the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a great defect in terms of their ubudiyya, in terms of their pure worship of Allah. That is because لأنهم يعبدون من لا شيء, because they worship someone who is nothing, meaning not qualified with attributes. That's why there is emptiness and there is defect in their worship. The Lord must possess, qualified, must be qualified and is qualified, the true Lord, with the perfect attributes, so that he is worshipped as necessitated by these attributes. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah, all the most beautiful names belong to Him. So call on Him by them. Call on Him, meaning worship Him by these names. Seek means of nearness by His names. Also seek that which you intend from your requests by His names. So the dua comprises here two things. Comprises the dua of request as well as the dua of the worship itself. So the thing here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, that you testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. لا إله من الخلق, there is no God from the creation. لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل, neither a cross angel nor a prophet sent as a messenger, nor the sun, the moon, the trees, stones, land, sea, saints, martyrs. لا إله إلا الله وحده. There is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. This is the kalima. This is the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted and sent the messengers to convey and to proclaim. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, in chapter 21, verse 25. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we inspired him saying, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So worship me alone and none else. 36. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. نعم, it should be النحل. And verily we have sent among every ummah, a nation, a community, a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and avoid taghut, all false deities. Meaning, ابتعدوا عن الشرك, keep away from shirk, keep away from ascribing partners to Allah in worship. If this testimony, if this kalima, if the person manifests it truly and states it from his heart, ascribing to what it entails from iman, from faith and righteous deeds, then he فَإِنَّهُ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, and he will be admitted to paradise. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by Abi Dawood and also Imam Ahmad and others and Al-Hakim, and who authenticated it upon the conditions and Al-Dahabi agreed with the authentication of Al-Hakim, من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. The one whose last words in this life is the testimony, utters the testimony of لا إله إلا الله, will be admitted to paradise. جعلنا الله وإياكم منهم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and you from them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the response وأن محمدا رسول الله. Testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah al-Hashimi. Al-Qurashi, from Quraysh. Al-Arabi. Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. Here, there is a contemplation. Why no one of the rest of the messengers is mentioned in this testimony? Now, it was Angel Jibreel. Did you hear the question? So what's the answer? What's the answer therefore? No other messenger was mentioned in this testimony. Now, this is true. They believe in the last messenger comprises all the other messengers. That's true. But there is something very profound. The name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique, other reasons completely rejected. Question is, the Prophet, in this testimony, there was no mention of other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the messenger. He told us with the other messengers. We know that believing in him comprises the belief in all the messengers. Now, but there is something profound here. Yes, Mashallah, because his message abrogated all the other messages. You see this? Because he abrogated with him, sending the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, abrogated all the religions, all the previous religions were abrogated. So therefore, all the religions became false with the advent of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending with his message. So the deen, the religion of the Jews, is futile, and the religion of the Christians is futile, unaccepted to Allah, because Allah stated this clearly in Al-Imran, Surah Al-Imran 3:85. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. And in the hereafter, he will be one of the losers. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the other religions. So they exert efforts in their worships, which they invented. All of that will be scattered, dust, of no benefit to them, because it will not be accepted from them. Here, Allah says, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and in the hereafter, he will be one of the losers. So if they win in this life, then they are not winners in the next one. It's because their religions are futile. So, those who claim themselves to be Nasara, quote-unquote Christians, and they ascribe themselves to Isa ibn Maryam, to Jesus, son of Mary, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they ascribe themselves to Jesus, alayhi salam, they are lying. And Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, is free of them, disassociated from them. In fact, if he would come, he would fight them. And he will come before the end of time. And he will not accept Jesus, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, will not accept Islam. And so he will break the cross and will kill the pig and will establish the tax and will not, and he will rather not accept the tax from anyone. He will not accept Islam. The other thing in this testimony, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, meaning to the entire creation, to the entire creation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Furqan 25 verse 1, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Blessed be he who sent down the criteria of right and wrong, meaning the Quran, to his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may be a warner to the alameen, mankind, jinns and all that exist. And Allah stated in Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. فهو رسول إلى جميع الخلق صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yes, you're asking 7. Yes, 7, 158. Those who follow the messenger. 158. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, verily I am sent to you all as a messenger of Allah, to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. لا إله إلا هو, none has the right to be worshipped except him. It is he who gives, meaning Allah, it is he who gives the life, gives life and causes death. So believe in Allah and his messenger, the prophet who can neither need nor write, who believes in Allah and his words, meaning the Quran. وَاتَّبِعُوهُ, he believes in his words, the Quran, the Torah and the Injil, and Allah's word, be, meaning Jesus, son of Mary. Because all of these are Allah's words. And follow him so that you may be guided. And when we say the Torah and the Injil in their original form, before changes and before the modifications that took place in them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none who hears him from this nation, meaning the nation addressed in the Jews and the Christians, and they die without believing in that which I am sent with, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that they will be from the dwellers of hell, as the hadith is stated in Sahih Muslim. And that's why we believe that all the Jews and the Christians and others from the disbelievers are from the people, all are from the people of hell if they die on that. They are disbelievers and they took enmity towards Allah and His Messenger and His Messengers, including Ibrahim and Noah and Muhammad and Musa and Isa and all the messengers. Because rejecting one of them is rejecting the entire messengership. This testimony, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, these are conditions, comprising the conditions of worship, and they are sincerity and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, because the one who says La ilaha illallah, the one who says that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, then he is sincere to Allah. And the one who testifies that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's Messenger, then he is a follower. The Messenger of the Messenger is not following any other person. And that's why these two are considered as one pillar from the pillars of Islam. Because they refer to the same thing. And that is the correction of worship. Because the worship is not correct except by what is necessitated of the testimony La ilaha illallah and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah, this is the ikhlas, the sincerity, and Muhammad Rasulullah is the following. And to say anna Muhammad Rasulullah means to testify by your tongue, attesting in your heart that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. Allah sent him to the creation as a mercy to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And this also means, we have not sent you except as a mercy to mankind, and all that exists. وَأَن تُؤْمِن, and that the believer must, and that the person must believe, that he is the final and last prophet. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab 33 verse 40, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any man among you, but he is the Messenger of Allah and the last end of the prophets. There is no prophet after him to be sent. And whoever claims prophethood after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever, liar. And anyone who believes him, then he is also a disbeliever. This proclamation that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah necessitates that he should be followed in his legislations and in his sunnah, and that one must not innovate in the religion of the Prophet ﷺ that which is not part of it, or inject in it anything that is not part of it. And that's why we say that the people of innovation who invent in the Sharia of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which is not part of it, they in fact did not truly manifest the Shahada that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Even though they may claim that we love him and we magnify him. In fact, this claim, if it is true, and if they truly love him and they truly magnify him, then they would not introduce anything before his saying and would not inject in his Sharia that which is not part of it. So, when you contemplate the bid'ah, the innovations, in reality it comprises insult to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is as if this innovator is saying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perfect the deen, nor did he perfect the Sharia. There is another matter also with respect to the innovation, and it is very grave, that it also comprises a belying of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 3, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I have, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 3, this day I have perfected your religion for you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected the deen, then it means that there is no deen that would come after that brought by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the innovators who legislated in the deen of Allah that which is not part of it, like for example tasbihs, remembrances, tahleel, takbir, movements and so forth, in reality they are belying the meaning of this verse and what it entails. Today I have perfected your religion for you. Also they are insulting the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accusing him, you know, as if he did not perfect the religion. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And from the perfection of this and completion of this shahada, of this testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah, is that we believe him in what he informed. So everything that came from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is authentic in the transmission and in the narration, then we must believe in it, and we should not oppose that by our intellect and our estimations and imaginations and so forth. That is because if you don't believe except that in what your intellect believes, then you are not really true believer. Rather, you are following your desires. You are not taking by the guidance. And the one who believes in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly, then his position towards the authentic texts would be sami'na, we hear and we obey and we believe. But for him to come and say, how is that? How could this be? In reality, he is not a believer in it, truly. And that's why it is feared for those who make their intellect a judge concerning what is authentically reported from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they don't accept except that which is attested by their intellect, and there is no doubt that their intellect is imperfect, then in this case they are not truly believing in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the degree of weakness towards this testimony they have is proportional to the degree of doubt which they have concerning that which he had informed. Similarly, from the manifestation of this shahada that the Prophet ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah, is that we don't exceed the limits concerning the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and therefore position the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in a rank greater than his rank, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Like those who believe that the Prophet, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieves the harm, and you see them by his grave asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly to ward off evil and to bring benefit to them. This is excessiveness in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is shirk ascribing, committing shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascribing partners to him in worship. No one is able to offer that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after his death, does not avail himself in anything. Even the companions, when they were afflicted with a drought during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And they offered the prayer to Allah to send the rain. They offered this prayer in the masjid, in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't come to his grave asking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or asking him to invoke Allah for them, or to intercede with Allah so that Allah can send the rain. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he invoked Allah and said, Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka binabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fatasqina. O Allah, we used to seek means of nearness to you by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would send us the rain. Meaning we sought means of nearness to you, O Allah, by the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, وَإِنَّا نَتَوَسَّلُ إِلَيْكَ بِعَمِّ نَبِيِّنَا فَسْقِنَا. And today we seek nearness of you by the uncle of our Prophet, so send us the rain. Then he commanded the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to stand up and invoke Allah to send the rain. So the whole matter is revolving around the dua, invoking Allah to send the rain. He didn't say, O Prophet of Allah, intercede for us, or invoke Allah for us, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is dead. So he is the one, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the one who told us in the hadith, if the person dies, then his actions would come to a halt, would stop, except three things that will benefit him, meaning an ongoing charity, or beneficial knowledge, or a righteous son invoking Allah for him. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام himself does not possess anything. He does not possess to invoke Allah while he is in his grave. Never. So whoever gives him a rank or assigns to him a rank above his rank which Allah chose for him. Then in fact he did not manifest the true meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. In fact, to the contrary, he would be attesting that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Lord besides Allah, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. That is because the meaning that he is a messenger, that he is a slave, not to be worshipped. And he is a messenger, not to be belied. We say this every day in our prayers. We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is abduhu, his slave, wa rasuluhu, his messenger. فَهُوَ عَبْدٌ كَغَيْرِهِ. So he is a prophet, as he is a slave like others from the creation. And Allah is the ma'bud, is the one who is worshipped, Azza wa Jal, and he is the Lord. So therefore we say to those who exceed the limits concerning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and rank him above his proper rank, we tell them, you did not really manifest the testimony of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad being the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So upon this testimony, therefore, the whole of Islam is built. And if one would talk as to what is linked to the meaning of this testimony and its understanding and what it comprises, then one would take days to finish that. But this is an indication, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us anew from those who manifest it in faith and in saying and in action. We will stop here inshallah, and then we continue the explanation of the hadith next time. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا